and bring about the best representatives that we can have in Christ, pursuing righteousness. Righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to us. I really thank Alice Patterson for joining us today for her book. We'll have to have her come on another couple of months from now to talk about this again, Bridging the Racial and Political Divide, How Godly Politics Can Transform a Nation. You get $20 or more to Save America Ministries. We'll put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you. Be a blessing. And pray for the reconciliation of we, the people.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And we're going to be talking about our Constitution, which is the foundation of our freedom. Now, of course, the Time magazine, which is, of course, part and parcel of the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's part of this Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberger Complex. Now, that you can always tell whatever they say is exactly the reverse of the truth. They recently carried an article saying, you know, of course, our founders intended to have an elastic constitution that would change as time went by. And they know that's a lie. Basically, if you want to change the Constitution, you can amend it. But you can't have a Constitution that can be changed with the whims of men, or you have no rule of law and you have no foundation for freedom. And so basically, of course, our Constitution was contrived so that it could be amended. But you see, those who want a dictatorship in America do not want to go to the trouble to get the Constitution amended. They know the American people want to be free. So what they do is simply gain control of the means of communication. And then they lie to the people and they say whatever our elected officials vote for is all right because we're a democracy. Well, first of all, we're not a democracy. We're a republic based upon law. And secondly, of course, most of what's going on in Washington, D.C. is subversive and intent upon establishing a fascist dictatorship in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. And if you read it in Time magazine, which is part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, you know it isn't true. So with that as the background, tonight let's go to Pastor David Whitney at the Institute of the Constitution, which is teaching people all across America the fact that we are not a democracy, teaching the American people that we have a written document, which is the foundation of our freedom, which is not elastic, which cannot be changed by the whims of men. It can be amended, but the fascists don't want to amend it. The Brotherhood of Darkness simply wants to convince us that this is an elastic document. It can be changed whenever our leaders want. And, of course, that is the path to tyranny. Good evening, David. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure, Dr. Stan, to be with you and to be with your audience who cares about this constitutional republic. And I pray that many of them will want to see a restoration of the republic and work to that end. I know the hour is late in terms of where our country is and its move away from that form of government designed by our founders, but it's not too late. I always encourage folks who kind of want to despair and wring their hands, that no, it is not too late, because the supreme law of our land is still the United States Constitution. And as the supreme law, we the people can enforce it and force those in power to either follow the Constitution they take an oath to uphold or step out of the way for someone who will follow that Constitution. Well, you know, when we look at the history of our country and the foundation of our country, recognized that it wasn't the only series of colonies in the New World. There was the Spanish, and they established missions all over the West Coast. And then, of course, the French had established missions in the Northwest as well as throughout the Mississippi Valley. So we were certainly, the English were certainly not the only planters of colonies here in the New World. But it's interesting to compare those other colonies to what happened with the English colonies and to ask the question, why were those English colonies so successful in the history of developing our republic?
David, go right ahead.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, in contrast with the other colonies that were established here in the New World, the English colonies very quickly took a stance for self-government.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
These were different, primarily because they were following the Protestant ethic from Great Britain, having to do with self-government. And basically, of course, they actually had self-government in the churches, and they had a process by which they would select their ministers, they would select their leaders in the churches, and these basic ideas then were to be taken over into this new form of government when it was established. Basically, of course, with this idea that the whole idea of an executive judicial and legislative. These ideas came from the Bible. They were Protestant ideas. Basically, of course, in the old world, in Europe, why, of course, the Catholic tradition was, of course, you would have your divine right of kings, was verified by the church, and then the church, of course, then the king verified that the church was the official religion. Whereas in America, it was different, this whole idea of the Protestant theology, that man did not have to go through a religious organization. Man could have a personal relationship with God. That was, of course, the real miracle of the Protestant theology as it existed at that time. And man would first govern himself, and then, of course, he would establish a government. But that government was to be limited by the chains of the Constitution, because it was the basic theology of Protestant faith that all men were sinners and you could never trust them with power. Go right ahead, David.
Well, the other aspect, so that's the first, the theology of the priesthood of all believers. The second is what's often called the Protestant work ethic. I think a better term for it really is the biblical work ethic. That because God has given everyone a different calling, some are called to be a carpenter, some are called to be an educator, some are called to be a pastor, and, you know, there's various callings, but all callings that are legitimate callings are noble. They are honorable. They are to be done to the glory of God. So instead of having a kind of two-tiered system that says, yeah, the real pious Christians, go into full-time ministry, that's often what it's called today, you know, they're going to be a pastor, they're going to be a missionary, they're going to do something where their whole life is devoted to serving the Lord in one sense. No, we're going to see the person who is a carpenter can do their carpentry to the glory of God. They can devote the skills that God has given them to bring glory to God by doing excellent work. So this Protestant, or this biblical work ethic, meant that people were doing their work to the glory of God, which meant they did excellent work. And of course, excellent work produced an income that ultimately illustrated why the free enterprise system works. Because people are not motivated often by altruistic pushes that would say, oh, I'm going to do things for the good of others. They're motivated often for profiting themselves or profiting their family, providing for their family abundantly. And so the biblical understanding of human nature, based on a realistic view that the incentive to produce is not like in the collectivist mentality or the communist mentality, you know, a czar of whatever gets up and gives people a rousing speech as to why they ought to, you know, work hard at the factory because it's going to help all of society. And, you know, nobody's going to do that. If they know they're going to be paid whether they work or don't work, they'll receive a welfare check if they don't do a thing or if they go to work. So that kind of society, the communist mentality, is the exact opposite of the biblical perspective that says there is a biblical work ethic. Work is good. All work that's legitimate is good. And this leads to the third element, which is a free enterprise system. That is, human civil government is not given jurisdiction over business. Business belongs in the family, and the family then motivated to provide for its own needs and to excel will often become wealthy. The third or the fourth aspect of this, the reasons I believe our colonies succeeded, was the form of government that they were beginning to exercise that ultimately led to our United States Constitution, a Constitution that provides a balance of liberty and stability. And that balance, carefully crafted by our founders, was the product, really, of a long series of events, beginning with Jamestown, 1609, and then on to the Pilgrims at Plymouth Rock and the establishment of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. All of those things were leading towards the direction, the culmination being our United States Constitution. And so those are the four reasons, I believe, our colonial experience produced an entirely different system of government and a successful system in contrast to the French or Spanish colonies that were established. So it's worthwhile taking a glance backwards even before the Declaration of Independence, saying what were the precursors to that? And obviously it was the Puritans who in New England were establishing a system of government, and the system of government there perhaps seeking to follow the biblical structures even more closely than what was being established in Virginia and some of the other colonies, they taught that government is ordained by God. That is, it is appropriate and proper to have a rule of law. That may sound like a no-brainer, but in our day, when people are espousing increasingly the philosophy of anarchy that says it's best to have no rules, it's best to have no government at all, I think it's important to point out that God's Word clearly says that we're all fallen human beings and we need government. Human civil government is important because of our fallen nature. But the second aspect of political philosophy expressed by the Puritans is that government itself is limited by God. Earlier you mentioned the divine right of kings, Dr. Stan, and that's the theory that says human civil government is not limited by any bounds that can be placed upon it. It itself, the human civil government, or the king, is the only determiner of the limits of his power. So, the king decides that, like the King of England early on, that he has the right of first knight, which perhaps some of your listeners have heard, the awful doctrine that any woman that is being married in his kingdom, he had the right to sleep with that woman before her husband slept with that woman. So on the wedding night, the king could intervene and say, I'm going to take your wife to bed, and I get her first, and this is called the right of first sight. What? This is preposterous, but that's it. When you have the divine right of kings, the king can, hey, he can call a shot to say, this is what I declare to be law. Indeed, our founders said, no, that's not law. Government is limited by God's law, and this leads to the doctrine of rights that we as human beings have God-given rights. I appreciate what one of the Puritan preachers, Reverend John Cotton, said in the sermon about the limits that God places upon human civil government. And is a rather lengthy quote, but I think it's worth listening to. Let all the world learn to give to mortal men no greater power than they are content they shall use. That is, any power you grant to human civil government, be sure they're going to use it. He goes on to say, for use it they will, and unless they be better taught of God, they will use it ever and anon. For whatever transcendent power is given will certainly overrun those that give it. In other words, you grant certain powers, you can expect those who are holding those powers to attempt to expand the limits of their power beyond the limits that you set upon them.
And that is exactly what George Lord Acton said. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. In fact, one of the senators who had come to our studio added, a power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. And that is exactly what we're seeing today. Power in Washington, D.C. is being misused. Certainly the president says, I want to go to war. We're going to go to war with Libya. You don't have a right to stop me. I have that right to do it. And, you know, who is going to challenge me? I am the commander-in-chief of the military. I control the military. The Congress doesn't control the military. Therefore, I will determine what we're going to do. And we have an empire, ladies and gentlemen. Until the American people understand, we have troops stationed in over 130 nations, 720 foreign military bases. 40 cents out of every dollar we spend has to be borrowed. And what are we using it for? To fund the empire. But we can't let the American people know that. Oh, no, we're defending America against, there are 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda over there in Afghanistan plotting against us. And ladies and gentlemen, it's all phony. It's all used to justify all power to Washington, D.C., to subject the world to our, to subject the American people to the will of the people who control Barack Obama. Because remember, Barack Obama is not the power who runs this country. He is simply the figurehead for the people who put up the $500 million to get him elected. People of great wealth, but nobody ever talks about that. Supposedly, the Democrats are the party of the people, the Republicans are the party of the people of great wealth. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they're both the parties of the people of great wealth. What I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Nothing against wealth, but these people have gotten their wealth because they've given themselves over to the dark side. Go right ahead, David.
Oh, thank you. Yes, well, Reverend Cotton continues that there's a strain in man's heart that will sometime or other run out to excess, unless the Lord restrain it. But it is not good to venture it. That is, we better not allow any possibility that a human being can get beyond the boundaries we've set up. It's necessary, therefore, he continues, that all power that is on earth be limited, church power or other. It is counted a matter of danger to the state of limited prerogatives, but it is a further danger not to have them limited. A prince himself cannot tell where he will confine himself, nor can the people tell. It is therefore fit for every man to be studious of the bounds which the Lord hath set, and for the people, in whom fundamentally all power lies, to give as much power as God in his word gives to men. That's the limit. We need to find God's limits and place those limits on human civil government.
Now, as Thomas Jefferson said, take the chains off the people and put them on the government. Because that government governs best, that governs the least. That is what freedom's all about. Too bad we forgot the message. David, go right ahead.
So we have one of the well-known Puritan preachers expounding what we could call the Puritan philosophy, the Puritan political theory that God has ordained human civil government, the rule of law.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
You know, conspire together with your neighbors, perhaps, but maybe there are three or four farmers, but you together recognize you did not have enough power, enough force, to resist these people. And so you might go down to the manor down the road where there was a lord who had a lot of servants. And, hey, he had an army, a small army, you know, might have been 20, 30 people, but larger than you and your neighbors had. And so you would enter into a relationship with him, a feudal vassal relationship, where you agreed to give him maybe some tax money or maybe some time you would serve in working on his manor, maybe building some roads for him. Anyway, you came to an agreement. You gave him something. In return, you received protection from the thieves and the brigands. But maybe the lord of that manor himself wasn't powerful enough to resist these thieves, and so he would look for the largest landholder in the area who had more servants and who had maybe some knights that were part of his family and his manor. And so you would appeal to him, and that lord of the manor would go to someone higher than him, and that would go to someone higher all the way up to the king. So there's a stratification of society based upon these agreed-upon relationships, these covenants, these contracts that you would enter into. And this was understood to be exactly what Scripture talks about, that we enter into covenants with others often to protect ourselves when we are not strong enough to do that. Now, the fifth aspect of Puritan political philosophy was colonial autonomy. Just as we mentioned earlier, is because in their churches, they primarily were congregational churches where they would select their pastor, they would select the elders of the church, the congregation was involved in this. They recognized that this pattern of government was also good in civil government. There ought to be a degree of autonomy of the colonies, that they were not looking to England for every detail of how they were governed. And indeed, they saw that the people who participated in those elections, just as in church, in other words, you certainly were not going to be part of selecting a pastor if you were not a member of that church, nor selecting elders unless you were a member, and membership had standards, and membership meant you ascribed to the beliefs, the doctrinal statement of the church, and you submitted yourself to discipline of the church if you were doing sinful things and so on and so forth. All of that was part of what took place in the church context, and they transferred that idea over to the civil context, that it was the community of believers, the community of the redeemed, who would participate in the election of those who were going to represent them in the colonial legislature. So you had to be qualified to be able to elect someone to the legislature of your colony who would represent you. That is, you had to be, for example, in Massachusetts Bay, you had to be a Christian who was a member of the church without, in good standing. You're not a member who's being disciplined for some sin or whatever, but you're in good standing in your church. You were part of those who could then stand for election and choose those that were going to represent your community in the colonial legislature. So those are all very important elements to understand, because they played a significant part in how the first Congress met in 1774 and how those developments took place. Now, when we talk about the beliefs, the religious beliefs of the founding fathers, one of the questions that we have to answer right off the bat is, were the founders of our country Christians or were they deists? And quite often our founders are accused of being deists by many people who claim they are in the know on this. And the question is, well, what is a deist? What does a deist believe? Well, simply put, a deist believes that God created the universe. So they believe a creator God made the entire universe, and he established absolute, unchanging physical laws of the universe, laws of gravity, laws of physics and chemistry, all those. And he established absolute, unchanging moral laws, Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, and so on. All of these were designed by God to govern the universe. But once God created the universe, and here's how deists would differ with Christians, Once God created the universe, he retreated from it. He went on vacation, kind of a permanent vacation, and he is no longer involved in the creation at all. That is, if you pray to him and ask him for something, he's not going to bother here listening to your prayers because he doesn't answer prayer. There's no miracles that could happen for a deist because that would mean somehow the Creator God has intervened in the laws of creation and stopped some of those natural laws of creation from happening. So there's no miracles. Obviously, therefore, Jesus Christ could not come into this world as God because God would be intervening in the world if he did such
a thing. Hold that thought, David. Guest Pastor David Whitney, if you'd like to give us a call when we get back, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Two were Dutch Reform, two were Sydney Lutheran, and two were Roman Catholic. David, before we go on, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, how they can get a kit so they can begin to teach the Constitution, and why it is so vitally important that we get the American people to understand what the Constitution is all about, the difference between a republic and a democracy, which is never taught in schools. And of course, then we'll certainly continue with this discussion of the faith of our founding fathers. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we recognize that these truths that we're just sharing here in the radio program are absolutely vital Every American needs to know these, and we know that the major media is never going to allow this to get out, and certainly the education system has conspired against allowing any of this truth to get out. So we've created what we call a host kit by which you can take these series of DVDs and show them to a group of people and walk them through a process where they're going to gain an education that they'll gain nowhere else in our country at this point in time, understanding the biblical foundation of law and government, understanding, like we're sharing in this tonight, what the religious view of our founders truly was, as opposed to what we're often told, which are often quite often a bunch of lies. And this host kit is available by going either to our website. You can go to our website, iotconline.com. That website, again, is iotconline.com. Right at the top of the first page there, you'll see a button for the store. If you click that, you'll find the host kit in our store and many other materials there as well that can help you understand the Constitution. The host kit's designed really to be a turnkey tool by which anyone can take any group of people through a study of the worldview of our founding fathers and develop a working knowledge, therefore, of our Declaration, Constitution, Bill of Rights, and subsequent amendments, as well as what happened to America. Because once people complete about the first two-thirds of the course, they're asking, well, if that's what our country was founded to be, how in the world did we get where we are? And we answer that question, what happened to take away the kind of liberty and the form of government, and then how to restore our constitutional republic. So those all in 12 weeks. Constitutional law professor John Eismo is the presenter, and then David Barton, a historian, presents two lectures. That, along with a student notebook that gives a thorough outline of each of the lectures, as well as test questions following each lecture, supplemental readings that are assigned throughout the 12 weeks, all of that in a student notebook, and then a host notebook that gives the person directing the class answers to all the test questions, hints about how to conduct each of the 12 sessions and so on. That, together with two posters illustrating our founders' view of law and government, the biblical view, and the kind of pagan view that is in play very much in our day. So if people can go to our website, IOTC Online. If they want to call us, we're on the East Coast, so East Coast hours from 9 to 5. And our toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. And Dr. Stan, anybody can do this. And we're encouraged, as we're talking to people across America who have gotten a host kit and begun going through it, taking a group of people through it and finding, hey, I can do this. I can help other people understand our founder's view of law and government and give them a working knowledge of our founding documents. And that's the way. That's the first step we must take in order to restore our republic, educating ourselves, our family, and all the widest circle of influence that we have.
All right. Now, of course, earlier you were talking about how many of our founding fathers were evangelical Christians.
Yeah.
And, of course, basically, what the other people are going to say, well, look, certainly Benjamin Franklin was not a Christian. Well, he wasn't a Christian, no question. And Thomas Jefferson wasn't a Christian. You know, he thought Christianity was great, but he could not accept the supernatural mm-hmm. things having to do with Christianity. But then they'll say, see, none of our founding fathers were Christians. Well, basically, this is a blatant lie.
Yes.
But this is part of the conspiracy against Christianity today. And yes, there may have been a couple of our founding fathers who were not Christians, but the vast majority will. And certainly it's a long jump from, you know, the fact that one or two of them, several of them were not Christians, to the fact that the people who founded this country were not Christians. But a lie told often enough, taught at our schools, our high schools, our universities, will be believed, just as 99% of the people in America do not know the difference between a republic and a democracy. And I would say that by the time students graduate from high school, or certainly from college, 99% of them will believe the lie, as I did when I graduated from college, that America is a democracy, repeated over and over again by our politicians. And yet, if you read the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Federalist Papers, and all of the constitutions of the 50 states. You will never see the word democracy used other than to cry up and say we do not want a democracy. The last thing we want is a democracy. They knew, as Plato had said so well, that democracies always degenerate into despotism. And that's just what happens today, or as James Madison had written in the 10th of the Federalist Papers, and I know what I went to college, and we studied the Federalist Papers, but they left out the part of the 10th of the Federalist Papers that said this: democracies are air spectacles of turbulence and contention, are air incompatible with personal liberty and rights of private property, and are usually as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. Do you know, certainly, how we're getting an increased tempo of violence and a breakdown of law and order? This is the end result of a democracy where people have been promised all these wonderful things and Social Security and Medicare and all the health benefits, and there's no money for them. And people are going to be out in the streets demanding that they have their rights without understanding that you do not have a right to steal from one person to give to yourself. The whole idea of socialism is to take from Peter to pay Paul so you can buy Paul's vote. That's what it's all about, and that's what's going on today. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. David, you go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And the contention that some of our founders were not Christians or Orthodox Christians may be true, but the thing that is very interesting to note is they were not deists. Let me repeat that. They were not deists. Benjamin Franklin is often accused of being a deist. He was not a deist, at least not at the Constitutional Convention, where on June 28, 1787, he rose and made the following statement. And several points in this statement could not be made by a deist. He said, in the beginning of this contest with Britain, that is the War for Independence, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, and he was addressing this to George Washington, the president of the convention, our prayers, sir, were heard. Wait a minute. A deist knows that prayers are never heard and never answered because God's an absentee God. He doesn't hear prayer. He doesn't answer. Ben Franklin said, our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. That's not the statement of a deist. He goes on to say, I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. Again, another statement a deist could not make. He goes on to say, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Again, a deist would never quote that verse. That would be something they say, I don't believe that. Ben Franklin believed it. He said, I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his, that is God's, concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. There may have been a time when Ben Franklin voiced some deistic ideas, but by the time of the Constitutional Convention, he was not a deist, and the proof is in that quote, June 28, 1787. Thomas Jefferson, likewise, accused of being a deist. Well, he may have at times voiced some deistic ideas, but certainly by the time he was president and his second inaugural address in 1805, he said, I shall need the favor of that being in whose hands we are, who led our forefathers as Israel of old from their native land and planted them in a country flowing with all the necessaries and comforts of life, who has covered our infancy, that is, infancy of these United States, covered our infancy with his providence and our riper years with his wisdom and power, and to whose goodness I ask you to join with me in supplications. That is a fancy word for prayers. He was asking people to pray for him, that he will so enlighten the minds of your servants, guide their counsels, and prosper their measures, that whatsoever they do shall result in your good, and shall secure to you the peace, friendship, and approbation of all nations. Thomas Jefferson was asking the people to pray for him and to pray for those in office that God's favor would be granted to them, that God would intervene on their behalf. Again, a deist would never do any such thing. He wouldn't ask anybody to pray because he doesn't believe in prayer. Thomas Jefferson, he was not a deist. There's only one of the founding fathers that you can rightly accuse of deism, at least in part of his life, and that's Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine wrote the very famous book, Common Sense, which garnered extreme attention and was very successful. Later, he moved to Europe, and he wrote a second book that was an anti-Christian screed that just, you know, ripped Christianity apart from one end to the other. And all of the founders who read his book criticized him. Some said, Thomas Paine, you're better off burning this book and never publishing it. In other words, Thomas Paine, by his anti-Christian attitude, demonstrated that the rest of the founders were Christians, if not in fact, that is, they were truly followers of Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, in their belief system, particularly what they believed about law and government, they held to a Christian understanding of it, and none other than Thomas Paine could you rightly and fairly historically accuse of being deists. And again, Thomas Paine's the exception that proves the rule, because of the response of all the other founders to his second book and their criticism of it and their statement to him that he would be, were ashamed that he would be numbered with them as a founder to have such a virulent anti-Christian attitude. Well, let's look at some others who are sometimes criticized with not being Christians. George Washington. He was sincerely a Christian, a member of the Episcopal Church, and in fact a vestryman. That means he was an officer in the Episcopal Church. So not only did he have the standard of membership that he believed the 39 Articles of the Episcopal Church, but he had to sign a document that said he believed those things in order to be a vestryman in the Anglican Church. So either George Washington perjured himself in lying when he signed that document that said he believed all those things, the 39 Articles of the Episcopal Faith, or he was telling the truth, and the evidence is that he was telling the truth. For example, consider his speech to the Delaware Indian chiefs. This was on the 12th of May in the year 1779. You could say right in the midst of the war for independence wasn't over at this point. He said, quote, "You will do well to wish to learn our ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and happier people than you are." Wow. He's recommended their faith in Jesus Christ. And then later in a letter, this is dated June 8th, 1783, a letter to all 13 governors of the 13 states, he refers to Jesus Christ as, quote, "the divine author of our blessed religion." That's George Washington. You can read many, many things. You can read his prayer book. You can read things that he wrote in his journal. You'll find that George Washington, to the best evidence, was a solid Christian. Another, Alexander Hamilton, he was urging the formation of a Christian constitutional society because he recognized that in order to preserve the values essential to hold this constitutional republic together, you have to advance Christianity. And a Christian constitutional society was his proposal. When he died after a very ill-advised duel with Aaron Burr, when he was dying on July 11, 1804, before he took his last breath, he said, quote, "I have a tender reliance on the mercy of the Almighty through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ." Clearly a statement of faith in Christ as his Lord and Savior. And another is John Jay, who was the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. He was, oddly enough, we might think it odd in our day when we think of the current Chief Justice, but he was the founder as well as the president of the American Bible Society, a society devoted to printing the Bible and getting it into the home of every home in America. He was at one time representing us as an ambassador to France, and he described one interaction that took place between himself and a bunch of the French atheists that were in the room. They spoke, he said, freely and contemptuously of religion. I took no part in the conversation. In the course of it, one of them asked me if I believed in Christ. I answered that I did, and that I thanked God that I did. Nothing further passed between me and them or any of them on that subject. Clearly, a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Samuel Adams, another great favorite. He's often called the father of the American Revolution, as well as has been given the title of the last of the Puritans. And He was governor of Massachusetts many, many years. On March 20th, the year 1790, he issued a prayer and fasting proclamation calling the people of the state of Massachusetts to a day of fasting and prayer. And he said, quote, "I conceive that we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating," that's praying, "the supreme ruler of the world, that the rod of tyrants may be broken into pieces and the oppressed made free, that wars may cease in all the earth, and that the confusions that are and have been among the nations may be overruled by promoting and speedily bringing on the holy and happy period when the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be everywhere established and all the people everywhere willingly bow to the scepter of him who is the Prince of Peace." Wow, what a statement from a governor of one of the 13 states calling people to prayer, declaring that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, that his kingdom needs to be advanced into every corner of the world. No atheist there, no deist there, instead a solid Christian.
Okay, well, of course, our guest is Pastor David Whitney. Once again, your telephone number, David?
Our phone number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. And our website, iotconline.com.
IOTC Online. Ladies and gentlemen, it's vitally important that you get the information, that you actually establish a study group, that you begin teaching your family and your friends about the miracle of our Constitution and its Christian foundations. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have a caller on the line. Jack, do you have a question on the subject? Because I don't want to get off the subject.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour. And only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888
866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Number of books that go into the background of this, number of tape sets that go into this, and this is what they do not teach in our schools. Everything is done to convince you that most of our founders were not Christian. Most of them were. A few were not. A few were into the Gnostic faith. A few of them were into Masonry. But the vast majority of them were evangelical Christians. But you see, since they're trying to destroy Christianity today, since there's a conspiracy against God, why, of course, then these facts have been changed and altered in our universities, just as they have convinced everyone America is a democracy, which it is not. Now, basically, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have a little pamphlet, inexpensive, called We Are a Republic, and we suggest you get that and you read it and you understand the foundation upon which this country was founded. We have a four-tape set on the foundations of freedom. That's the foundations of freedom. And, of course, we have so many more books. Go up on our website, radioliberty.com, and pull down. Look at the books and the DVDs and the other things we offer. You first of all have to know what you're in favor of. Then you can begin studying the Brotherhood of Darkness and certainly reading Professor Quigley's expose of the secret society that controls America today. You need to get the little book called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. 10 million copies of it are out there, were distributed back in 1972 and 73. Go to a used bookstore today and try to find one. Somebody obviously has bought them all up and has shredded them. Why? Because the last thing they want is for the American people to know the truth. And that is the fact that a small group of people have taken control of the reins of government here and control our nation and make mockery out of the concepts of democratic or electoral society. Now, to understand what's really going on, let me suggest Barry Goldwater's book. We have it called With No Apologies. Admittedly, our copies are secondhand, but we want to make them available to you. With No Apologies by Barry Goldwater. And you read from page 280 to the end of the chapter, and he will tell you that the Trilateral Commission was founded as an offshoot of the Council on Foreign Relations. The purpose of the Trilateral Commission, of David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, was to take over financial and commercial interests, and he's talking about the world, by first seizing control of the government of the United States. And then he tells you how they've done it, how they were set out to do and take over control of our government. You need to get the DVD on the Trilateral Commission by Patrick Wood to find out how many key people in successive administrations have come from the Trilateral Commission. Certainly it's not by accident that six of the eight presidents of the World Bank have come from the membership roles of the Trilateral North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. That would be eight of the 10 World Trade Representatives, seven of the 12 Secretaries of State, nine of the Secretaries of Defense. This was between 1977 and the year 2008. And every president and or vice president of the United States between 1977 and 2008 came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. And Barry Goldwater said they intended to take over control of our government. They've done it. Obama, of course, just carries out the directions. And these people are intent now upon destroying the financial structure of our nation. They've set our jobs overseas. They've constructed the tax laws, which, of course, encourage corporations to move overseas. And isn't it amazing that nobody ever tells the American people? Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
and revive her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of David Rogney, and we're going to be talking about his book, Miracles in the Jungle. Did I get the title right this time, David?
You got it. You're doing great.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, this is a fascinating story because it's David's testimony of the experience that he had and his wife had when they went to Papua New Guinea some years ago as missionaries. And so I'm going to let you pick up the story, David, and tell our listeners how it was that you went to into the mission field and what you discovered when you were there working with cannibals and other people, many of whom came from total primitive tribes who had only really been able to knew about this and they'd been in contact with a white man for a very short period of time. You pick up the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Are you on a regular hardline telephone? Because your little voice is a little soft.
Yeah, can you hear me all right now?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. We were called into missions, both my wife and I, and it seems as though at the very start when we were kids that God began working in our own hearts. You know, not only did God show us a need for forgiveness for our sin and a need for Him to be our Savior, but then at some point in both my life and my wife's life, God called us to live in obedience to Him. And I think that that's really crucial for the church today, Dr. Stan. The Bible tells us in the last days, in 2 Timothy 3:5, that we will live in perilous times, that people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, instead of loving lovers of God, and that they will hold to a form of godliness but deny the power. And it's as you always say at the beginning of every program, that in this struggle that we're in, it's a struggle really of the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. And so we have to live in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to certainly go if He tells us to go, to send, if that's what He's telling us to do. But we need to be involved. And so a lot of times as kids, we get inspired by what is put before us. So if our parents put before us video games and a lot of pretend stuff, then that is what fills our imagination. But in my case, I was exposed to some missionaries when I was young, and I realized that God was working in their lives and doing incredible things through them. And I believe that God really used their stories and the testimonies of what He did in their lives to encourage me to trust Him for that someday in my own experience.
And so you you and your wife set off for Papua New Guinea. Did you have any children when you left?
Yes, we did, Dr. Stan. We have two boys, Jonathan and Seth, and they've just been a tremendous blessing. And when we left, Seth was only 10 months old. He was just a chubby little baby boy, and both had blonde hair. And boy, the native people loved those little boys. You know, they were so cute, and Seth was kind of fat, and they loved that. They thought that was wonderful to have a fat little white baby.
Well, okay, so how long did it take you to learn the language so you could actually go out and minister to the people?
Yeah, thank you. Originally, Dr. Stan, we just learned the trade language of the nation, and I began learning that and was fluent in that language in about 6 months' time. And then, of course, as you go out into the different tribes, it takes sometimes 2 or 3 years before you can become fluent in one of those languages. But God really blessed both my wife and I with the ability to be able to communicate fairly fast in whatever area we were in.
Okay, well, you hang on. Our guest host is David Rogney, and we're going to be talking about his experiences in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. Go right ahead, David. So why don't you just describe what it was like living there?
You know, Dr. Stan, I know you've been to foreign countries, and anytime you go, you have to kind of give up your expectations that the rest of the world is like America. And so when we went, we were, you know, of course, young, and my wife had already had the experience in Africa, and so she already knew a little bit of what to expect. But in the book, I try to describe for the readers what it's like to get into a culture, and you kind of have two options. You know, some people jump into the swimming pool, and some people kind of put their toe in, and then they're just little by little trying to, you know, get used to that water temperature. And in my case, I decided, man, if this is what God's called me to, I'm going to dive in. And so I spent a lot of time with the people in their village, talking with the men, eating their food, trying to do everything I could to immerse myself in the language and in the culture so that I could pick that up. And I really believe that that was an important thing to do. And so we got to see a lot of neat things. Because we were so gung-ho to get involved, some of the people really opened up to us, and we began to realize that there are spirits that the people try to appease. And so this book, Miracles in the Jungle, not only talks about some of the personal miracles that God did in our lives to either heal us or to save us, or in one case, to raise my son from the dead, but also to understand that when we stand in the truth of the Word of God, in that relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are safe from the enemies of darkness, from the spirit of darkness, and from, you know, the enemy of our soul that the Bible calls Satan and his minions. So that's really important for us today, Dr. Stannis. We see the world around us getting darker. We need to understand that only by standing in that place of Jesus Christ, where he is my righteousness and we're clothed in him, do we have safety, do we have peace of mind.
I agree with you totally. And basically, of course, what we need to get people to understand is there really is a spiritual battle going on. And, of course, in our own strength, there's no way we can combat the forces of evil. But to our Lord Jesus Christ, anything is possible. There really are miracles that do take place. Well, certainly our guest is David Rogney. We're talking about his book, Miracles in the Jungle. We're going to be back here in just a moment here as David begins to tell us about his experience of working among the cannibals. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and so David then was in Papua New Guinea. Now, many of the people he worked with had been cannibals. In fact, we had a conversation this morning. He was telling me about his conversation with one of the cannibals, a former cannibal. And, of course, David asked what it was like, you know, before they had heard about Christianity. And he said things were terrible. Could you describe what this gentleman had told you, what life was like before they heard about our Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah, you know, some people, Dr. Stan, have this idea that if there just wasn't any religion in the world, or if people didn't worship Jesus Christ, then there would be peace and harmony. But man, that is the farthest thing from the truth. This old man came to my house one day, and he was a man in the tribe that I was living there, and I decided, since he was all alone, just to ask him an open-ended question to try to get the truth. You know, I said, "Fo, what was it like when you were little, back before you had facial hair?" So I wanted to know, you know, his childhood, teen years, you know, just back before the white man ever came. And he told me, he said, "Oh, Tape," he said, before True, way back when I was a young man, he said, we were like the pigs in the jungle. He said, Dave, you know how the pigs will stick their nose down into the mud and they will root around trying to find food and they don't even know where they're going. They're just rooting around in the jungle, going aimlessly about it. He said, that's how we were. We didn't have the thinkings of a man. He said, if we saw another enemy from another tribe, another man, he said, we'd capture him, we'd kill him, we'd eat him. He said, if we saw somebody's food growing in their garden, we would steal it, we would take it, and we would eat it. And he said, if we saw a woman, we would take her, we would violate her. And he said, we lived like animals. He said, we were afraid of the spirits. The spirits would beat us. He said, when I was a little boy, we would hide. We'd try to find a hiding place when it started getting dark out. He said, we never went out in the dark. It was scary. There were spirits, and they would strike us with sticks and kill some people. And the kind of bondage that he described was not only bondage that he described, it was bondage that other people of other tribes that I had talked to had described before for me. And but he said this, and this is so precious. He said, Dave, he said, when Brad Buser was the original missionary that had gone into that tribe, he said, when Brad came in and learned our language, and he told us God's talk, he said, it burned inside of our stomachs like fire. He said, when we hung up our trust, our faith, our belief, our strong in Jesus Christ, he said, our eyes were opened. He said, now look at us. We have light in our eyes. He says, we aren't afraid of the dark. He said, we have the thinkings of a man now. We don't act like animals anymore. We don't live like animals. We're different. And Dr. Stan, I tell you what, when I think about what Fo told me that afternoon, I think, man, if only America could go back to the teachings of Jesus Christ and live out what Jesus Christ taught us. You know, don't steal. Don't defraud from one another. You know, don't charge usury. I mean, there's all kinds of instruction in the Bible that if we would obey that, we would have a society that would be wonderful. It would be peaceful. People wouldn't have war and animosity towards our government and whatnot, you know?
Well, I agree with you totally, you know, basically because those people want government to give them something. Government has to steal this from somebody else. There's no way. Government doesn't have any money. It's only what it takes forcibly from one individual to give to another to buy their vote. And that, of course, certainly is not what America was all about. It was never to be the function of the federal government to provide for people. Yes, certainly at the local level, there'd be such a thing as Christian charity.
Yeah.
But there was never anything such as welfare or even worse, entitlement. You are not entitled to anything in a free society. Only, of course, in an authoritarian society are you entitled to be taken care of from the cradle to the grave by your master. And certainly in a slave situation, the master always provided for his subjects. So he could continue to work and exploit them. Well, let's get back to what was going on in the jungle over there. And basically, how long ago did these people that you were coming in contact with stop being cannibals?
Dr. Stan, according to my understanding, what I was told by the original missionary there, he had gone in around 1980. He said, I think it was 1978 was the last two men that they had captured and eaten. And so it was just a year or two after that event that he came in, and then I first went into that tribe in 1995, and then we ended up living there in 1998. Now, the first time I went in there, I remember I was just on a trip for 1 month long to go to explore kind of the country in the mission that I was involved with, and to see where my wife and I and my family would eventually end up. And I remember being on the airstrip and just feeling this intense satanic presence around me of hatred for me. And I remember thinking to myself, I can't believe this. I can't even speak these people's language. I have absolutely nothing that I could do to win any of them to Christ. And yet there was this overwhelming spiritual hatred for my presence being in this place. And I thought, isn't that amazing? I've thought about that so many times. because we have Jesus Christ in us, and because we are bearers of His image, He hates us. And I think that is just an amazing thing. But Brother Stan, I wanted this book to testify to some of the things that God did, because we who are called by His name are given a mandate to abide in Him and to obey Him. He says, "My children hear my voice and they obey me. They follow me." And what was His command to us? To make disciples. And so it says, I said this morning, I really believe that the battle that we find ourselves in is a two-pronged battle. We have the practical side. We need to realize, first of all, that we are in a battle, and we need to have some information. There's some knowledge that we need to come have, you know, in our repertoire. But then also, there's the spiritual side of it. And only when we are living in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and submitting our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit do we find that victory, and find that He is very powerful, and He can move mountains to protect us and to make things happen that we could never make happen on our own.
Well, why don't you tell the story about your son, because that truly is an amazing story.
Okay. Yeah, my oldest son, Jonathan, he's going to be 16 at the end of this summer. But back when he was about 2 years old, maybe two and a half, somewhere in there, we were sitting down after dinner on a Sunday night, and there was a knock at the door. I went to go visit a man who'd come to see me, and while I was doing that, my wife had dished out our malaria medication. Now, at the time, Jonathan and Seth, being little, had to take three different types of malaria medication, and Sunday was the day when they would get the heaviest dose. They ended up, they had one pill that they'd take once a week, and then I'm not sure exactly how it went. Anyway, the bottom line is they'd already had their three pills that they took on a weekly basis, and Jonathan saw my huge mefloquine tablet sitting there, and he took it, and somehow he chewed it up, and it's a very bitter pill, and swallowed it. Now, in those days, if my son had an egg that wasn't fully cooked, he would throw up. But somehow he ate this thing down, and it was right on the very next day. I was going to be going into this one area to assist a missionary to proclaim the gospel to the last tribe to hear. And so I really believed that this was an attack of some, you know, of the enemy, basically, that he somehow got this kid to swallow this pill. And so we immediately tried to get him to throw up, you know, the contents of his stomach. I tried sticking my finger down his throat. We could not get him to throw up. And so a veteran missionary, he came and he tried to get Jonathan to drink some Coca-Cola that had ash in it, just ash or whatever, to try to dissolve or absorb some of the poison. And finally we had an emergency medical flight come down with a doctor from Australia, and on the way down, the doctor had contacted America, and we realized that combination of drugs would stop his heart. And so we were desperately trying to get him to throw up, but about a half an hour later, it was to no avail, and we realized that the drugs were now in his system. So sure enough, his heart started stopping. We got on the plane. The doctor was trying to monitor his heart, you know, to see if we could get to a medical facility, but, you know, there was no way. He was definitely dying. And finally, his heart stopped, and I remember the doctor was over the body of my son laying there on the floor of the airplane, and he looked at me and just put his hands up, and he said, "I'm sorry. You know, he's dead. His heart stopped. It's, you know, he's no longer alive." And I remember just getting down, kneeling next to the body of my son, and I just laid my hands on him, and I just said, "You know, Father, you're God. I'm not. And you have every right to take my son. But please, please, for the sake of me, I'm a dad, please give me my son back." And immediately life came back into his body, jumped up and started running around the plane. And the doctor was amazed. I mean, he wanted to get him back to check him out. It's truly a miracle.
Well, God really does work miracles. I've seen them in my own life. I've seen them in my patients. And of course, well, a lot of people say these sort of things don't really happen. They do happen, but they happen, of course, to those who've given themselves, as David has, to our Lord. But we'll talk a little bit about some of the other things, some of the manifestations of evil that he encountered while he was there, and described in his book, Miracles in the Jungle. Well, David, why don't you tell about Sydney?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
The people there, and he describes the supernatural things that happen. You know, he and this other missionary are there, and a lightning bolt comes and strikes in between them, and some woman gets her leg swallowed by a python, and he comes. He's trying to get to one of the tribes, and suddenly he's overcome by this black cloud. He can't see anything. He's on his hands and knees, simply crawling downhill through the jungle, surrounded by darkness in the middle of the day. And of course, eventually he's able to get away from this. But the supernatural attack he was under, it's all described in his book, Miracle in the Jungle. Go right ahead, David.
Yeah, actually, that was early in the morning when I was trying to, I just took the wrong trail, and I started getting really close to the village where the demon actually controlled. He'd made him make a fence around it and stuff. And, you know, in the early morning, you know, the sun kind of comes up at the equator at 6 o'clock and kind of goes down at 6 o'clock. So you have about an hour of, you know, kind of like vague light on either side of that. And it was early in the morning when I was actually trying to go up. I was actually trying to go hunting is what I was doing. We didn't have any food to eat. And I had a compound bow, and there was a big pig that had been known for eating people, actually. If you can believe that, it I guess, eaten three guys and killed them and stuff. And so I thought that I could kill it with my compound bow. So I was actually trying to get food for us because we were up there. We'd made a little base camp that we were going to stay in for several months. And so I was actually trying to hunt for food, and I ended up getting on the wrong trail and going up towards that village. And it was when I got close to it that all of a sudden I was just completely overcome with darkness, and I couldn't see anything. I was literally on my hands and knees groping, trying to find my way back to the trail. But we just witnessed a tremendous amount of opposition to giving out the gospel, to getting that message out. And the reason, I believe, is because the Bible tells us that the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And so Satan is going to do everything he can, I believe, to stop us from presenting the gospel. And I think what that happens like in America, you know, I believe that God has given us this command to make disciples. Going, make disciples is what it says in Matthew 28. You know, if you exegete the Greek, it's actually going, make disciples. The emphasis is on make disciples of all nations. You know, you're going out, you know. And so as we do that, as we live in obedience, I believe that God puts blessing upon us to do that work. And I believe that he's blessed America greatly. We've had incredible freedoms, incredible blessings, both financial and spiritual. We have just unprecedented amounts of Christian radio, and we have Christian television. We have Bible colleges and Bible schools and all these things. But God blesses us so that we will be engaged in the work that he has given us to do. And so really, that's the whole goal in this book, is I'm hoping that this will inspire the next generation of Christians, both young and old alike, to go, to give their lives at least to obey the Lord. And even if that's going to the next door neighbor and saying, hey, I just want to tell you what God did in my life. You know, we are not bold any longer, and because we're not bold any longer, because we are not the light of the world any longer, the darkness is overcoming us. That's my belief.
Well, I really believe that is true, Sidney. It is amazing the extent that the forces of darkness have gone through to this nation to destroy the faith of our young people. That is why they took God in prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our school. There's no wall of separation of church and state in the Constitution or the First Amendment. This was because they wanted to destroy the foundation of the belief of our young people. This is why, of course, you're not allowed to talk about creation in high schools, but you can teach evolution as if it were a fact, not simply as a theory. Christianity is under attack today. But even more frightening to me is that they've infiltrated our seminaries, they've infiltrated our churches, and many of our ministers, without realizing it, have adopted their ideas. And they've changed the message of the church. They've changed the music of our churches. And, of course, Christianity today, unfortunately, is more or less irrelevant. We argue about all sorts of things, but never about what the real issues are from a Christian point of view facing our nation. Or simply getting into the background that we are involved in a spiritual battle. There really are demonic and satanic forces here. There are satanic organizations. David Berkowitz, the son of Sam Killer, was part of a satanic clique. Have you ever heard that? Charles Manson was part of the same one. The Process Church of the Latter Day Judgment. Why doesn't anybody ever talk about that?
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices,
Well, David, you go right ahead.
You know, Dr. Stan, you said something that is kind of a maybe a hobby horse of mine, is that the evolution, the damnable doctrine of evolution. And, you know, when I was in the jungle, I wasn't there to find dinosaurs or anything like that. I was there to go and seek and basically save the lost, to try to encourage those who were Christians to hold on to what they've been given, and to try to help them, you know, disciple them, to encourage them in their faith, to share the gospel, to preach the word. But I will tell you that there were two occasions, and I don't tell about this in this book. I'm actually writing another book about some of the other things that I've seen, but I've actually seen two living dinosaurs in real life. And I'm not going to spill the beans about that right now, but I just want the readers to understand one thing. Evolution is a lie. The earth is not millions of years old. And if you really honestly love the truth, and by the way, his name is Jesus Christ, then, you know, you're going to live a very different life than those who hold to a form of godliness but don't have any power. There's no power in a lie. But there's power in the truth.
Well, did you get a picture of these dinosaurs?
No.
Basically, you know, we have heard, actually, people talk about the fact that some of the missionaries in Papua New Guinea had actually seen dinosaurs. And, of course, that's coming out third hand. You actually saw them?
Yeah, I've seen two for sure. I know of many other people who have seen different types, even. I believe there's two different types of pterodactyl-type creatures there in New Guinea. There's the one that a lot of people call Ropan, and then there's another one called Rere. And I saw the larger of the two at night. And, you know, I'll probably, like I say, I really want to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so I don't want to try to say things that are, you know, weird or anything.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David was just saying that when he was in Papua New Guinea, he actually saw a couple of dinosaurs, and he's going to describe that in a later book, but he knew other missionaries had seen that as well. Now, we've heard these stories, you know, secondhand, but I've never talked to anybody firsthand who's actually seen one, but that's a story for another night, or perhaps for another book. Right now, of course, David, do you have a website or anything you'd like to put out where people could, you know, learn more about your experiences? Now, we are carrying the book. It's called Miracles in the Jungle. Miracles in the Jungle, it's inexpensive. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 is David's story of actually his time. How long were you actually in Papua New Guinea?
I was there for a short time in 95, but 98, 99, 2000, and we lived there as a family, and then 2001, 04, 5, and 6, we were there as a family, and then I think I was there as well in 03, something like that. So off and on for quite a few years, and a lot of the unique experiences that I had were actually when I was out on what I called mission trips. I'd leave my family, I'd leave the base, and I'd go out, usually with native men. There was one trek that I went out with another white man, but he was usually with the natives, actually, and I'd go out in the jungle, and we would go to proclaim the gospel. We would go to try to encourage national pastors that were way out, you know, who really didn't have any help and stuff like that. That type of thing. So, you know, as you spend a lot of time out there, you end up seeing a lot of things that, you know, quite frankly, people that sit in air-conditioned offices will tell you ardently that doesn't exist. But, of course, they haven't been out in the jungle walking around and seeing certain things either. You know, but they're the expert, though.
Well, I'm sure it was a great adventure, but even greater than that was the opportunity that you had to lead people into a personal relationship with our Lord. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for David, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Sydney, now, did you have, Sydney, actually, what you described this morning is that the people over there were hungry, anxious. You know, they were desperate in some instances to hear the Word of God. Yeah. Was that true?
Yeah. Dr. Stan, that was one of the hardest things for me to ever have to endure. When my wife and I and my family were leaving one of the tribes we were in, we'd only been in there for about 7 months, and our mission asked us to go do kind of a change of ministry. They had a real need in the capital city, and so they'd asked us to come out and do manage a guest house because there was nobody else to do it, I guess. And there were three men that had walked. Now, they said 3 days away, so I assume they spent, you know, two nights in the jungle type of a deal. But they begged us and pleaded with us, and it was to a great shame. I mean, they were crying. They were rolling around on the mud, abasing themselves before us, begging us. We've never heard God's talk. Please come learn our language. We want you to tell us God's talk. We don't want to have to go to the place of fire. We don't want to go to hell. You know, we will build you a house. We'll make you gardens. We will take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything. But we want God's talk. And I tell you, Dr. Stan, that's hard. That's really hard because here in America, there's not very much hunger anymore. You know, people aren't crying out, God, do a work in my life. God, you know, straighten me out. Convict me of my sin. Make me right with you. You know, help me to walk in obedience to you. We're pretty comfortable with our kind of status quo type Christianity. And Dr. Stan, I'll tell you one thing I'm really concerned with is that today so many of our children have their minds filled with the refuse of the world. They'll sit in front of a TV and they will allow Satan to pour into their hearts and into their minds the lie that you know, the TV programming and the ideology, the relativism, the you can be God, look within yourself, do what's right for you, all these things over and over again. You're the God of your own destiny, look within your own heart, all this kind of stuff. It's a lie of Satan. And what I'm asking parents and grandparents to do, get the book, read, give your kids something bigger than themselves to live for. Help them to live for God. You're going to be dead for a long time. You're going to have all eternity to enjoy the fruit of your life on this earth. But you can't do it watching TV. You can't do it playing a video game. You can't do it surfing the web. You know, you're going to have to fill your heart and your mind with the Word of God and with true stories of people who have obeyed God and who have stepped out and given their lives for the Lord. And when that happens, you're going to find out, man, there's a whole new life out there, a life in Christ, with the power of God filling your sails, and you're going to experience your own miracles all around you.
I'm sure that is true, and I really tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and I believe he's beginning to bring his judgment on this country. We talked to some woman just yesterday from Chicago, and a terrible storm there. I mean, half a million people without electricity. Certainly all across America, floods and hurricanes and tornadoes like we have never seen before. Earthquakes now like we have never seen before. Droughts like we have never seen before. And certainly financial crises all throughout the world like we've never seen before. Wars and certainly revolutions all throughout the Near East and the Middle East. And people look at it and sort of yawn and yowl, we're going to get through this, you know, as soon as the jobs come back here in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the jobs aren't coming back in America. The people who've done this, they've done it intentionally. They've sent our jobs overseas. They've taken down our tariffs. They've given special tax advantages to corporations, to move overseas. And the America we have known is never going to exist again. And I fear that by pestilence and by famine and by wars, God is going to bring his judgment on this country. And the average American can't believe it because he doesn't really believe that there is a supernatural being out there that directs the affairs of mankind. I think they're eventually going to believe it, but by then it may very well be too late. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for David Rogney, his book, Miracles in the Jungle, Miracles in the Jungle, just describing what it was like to live with these people who up until about 1980, many of the tribes were still cannibals. And there are, according to David, dinosaurs over there living in these impenetrable jungles. And the only way you can get there, everybody, is to walk. I mean, I suppose there are airfields here, there, and elsewhere, but most of it is simply just out walking through the jungle, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you fly into an airstrip, and I tell you what, you can hike for days upon end and, you know, go the distance a plane could go in 20 minutes, you know. Yeah, it's thick jungle, and I tell you what, there are creatures that I've seen that I don't believe any other white man's seen, you know, possibly. I've caught a python before that kills by sticking a point on its tail up between the legs of its victim. You know, I've caught a snake before that can kill you with a sting in its tail as well as the fangs in its mouth. I mean, it's, you know, there's some fascinating creatures that God has made. But Dr. Stan, I wanted to just share in Matthew 24, verse 14, the Bible tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. The end of this age is what he was referring to. The end of our church age, I believe the rapture is going to occur when the fullness of the Gentiles is brought in. But until that, we have a little bit of light left. It's like you said, there's wars and rumors of wars. There's earthquakes and pestilences and famines, and it's going to get worse. And the church in America must awake. The people of America must ask God, give us revival. Start it in me. Do your work in me. Help me not to be lukewarm. Dr. Stan, I fear that we've become a lukewarm church, for sure, in America. We've lost our cutting edge. And we need America to awaken to the fact that he's given us the privilege of going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And we need to get the gospel out not only to the world, but now to our own nation. I mean, I think that America is in greater need than Papua New Guinea is. You know, it's terrible.
Well, I really think it is, and that's why I do what I do. Now, whereabouts is your church? You have a church? Is it up in the state of Washington?
Yeah. It's just on the Columbia River, up almost to Kettle Falls. So we're just south of Kettle Falls, you know, maybe 10 to 15 miles.
All right. Do you have an email or anything that people could put out if they're living up in the state of Washington? I know we have a lot of people in the southern part of the state of Washington, but I don't know how many we have, IO and the Seattle and certainly the area above that. But how could people get in touch with you if they'd like to reach you?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I have an email address. It's Davy1 Brown. So that's D-A-V as in Victor, E-Y, the number 1, and then B-R-O-W-N at yahoo.com. And if somebody needs to reach me, they can certainly do it through the email there. That'd be fine.
Well, certainly, is civilization coming to Papua New Guinea? In other words, are the people, certainly, are they primarily hunters? Are they growing their food now? Certainly, are they getting an education? Certainly, are the schools, the civilization eroding on the jungles?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, civilization is definitely coming to Papua New Guinea. You know, we all, as human beings, are intrinsically greedy. We want money. We want stuff. We want Coca-Cola and rice and all this kind of stuff. And so as the youth grow up in the jungle, when they have an opportunity to go out to the cities and try to get some education, many of them do. The sad reality is that a lot of them out there find themselves in a limbo. They don't have any marketable skills. There's not enough employment, and so they end up leading a life of crime. They roam around in gangs. And they do horrible things. It's actually very dangerous in a lot of places there in Papua New Guinea. And sometimes they end up going back to their own tribes in the jungle. And some of the young people end up dying either of suicide or of just people find that they're not fitting in. And there's been stories of young people being killed because they don't fit into the tribe anymore, and I had one friend that killed himself. He wanted to try marijuana, and the world is going crazy all around us, and we need to have that anchor. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know where we stand with the Lord God. And one thing I did try to do in this book is I tried to just as clearly as possible present what the real gospel is. There's such confusion nowadays about what the gospel is. Everybody's preaching a gospel. I had some Mormon friends that were talking to me, and they were talking about the gospel, and I have some Jehovah's Witness friends, and they're talking about the gospel, but, really, Jesus Christ is the one who tells us what the gospel is, and I outline that very carefully and very simply in this book, and I think that we really need to be clear today on who we are and what we're about and what is the truth, because, again, I believe that Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him, and that is the gospel.
And, of course, here these natives in the jungles of New Guinea willing to walk 2 or 3 days through the jungle just to try to get somebody to come to teach them Christianity. And we have Christianity here all the time, churches all throughout our nation. But unfortunately, the forces of darkness have infiltrated our seminaries. They've infiltrated our National Association of Evangelical Christians, yeah, to the point where the man who headed this 30-million member organization was a man named Ted Hager. He was a dope smoking, cocaine smoking homosexual. The man who's replaced him is preaching an apostate religion, the hierarchy of the evangelical Christian movement, the 30-million member Association of Evangelicals. The whole hierarchy there has been infiltrated. Why? Because if you want to destroy Christianity, you don't attack it from without. You destroy it from within, and they're doing a great job of that until people understand that. And, of course, in Papua New Guinea, they're desperate for the simple message of Christianity. Here, of course, we have Christianity. Bibles are plentiful. And yet, of course, by infiltrating our churches and changing the music and the message of our churches, why, of course, they've managed to destroy the faith of so many of our people, and they're looking now for the where the real source is, that experience of Christianity, the whole idea of the new Christianity, the emerging church, as it were. Of course, when you can have this wonderful experience, and you can come to realize the truth, and that is that you are God, and right. This idea that repeated over and over again comes right out of the book of Genesis and the message, yep, of the serpent, and it's being delivered in churches across America today. Listen to Oprah Winfrey as she has somebody named Rhonda Burns on there many times, extolling her book and her DVD, The Secret. And what does The Secret tell us? What is The Secret? Well, the secret they profess is, you are God, the message of the serpent. And there's so many people, unfortunately, who are looking within themselves for the source of salvation. Well, David, you've got about 2 minutes to wrap up the program here.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, it's as you say, in our lives, we have to decide, what do we want? Do we want to live for ourselves right now, or do we want to enter into obedience to God be filled with His Holy Spirit and go forth in the power that He supplies and lay up treasure in heaven to enter into those good deeds that He has prepared before the foundation of the world for us to walk in them. It's our choice, but until we make steps in that direction, it's not going to happen. And so we have to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, and we have to be around people who are zealous for God and things of the Lord, and we have to know the truth, because Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
And ladies and gentlemen, we are involved in a spiritual battle today. Nobody's going to tell you that, but it's a battle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. Hang on, we'll be right back. Well, David, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. And what's the message you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the 4 gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States.
We are true to Him and follow His leading. David, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. The book, again, is Miracles in the Jungle. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. God bless and thanks so much.
God bless you, Dr. Sand, and God bless America.
Yeah, amen to that. Okay, fine. We're certainly David is has his own church up there in Washington, state of Washington at this time. We certainly want, if you want to get into the background of what's really going on, Carol Matriciana has a wonderful new DVD. It's called Broad is the Way. Broad is the Way. It's available. Now, it's basically 5 parts. It's about 3 hours and 20 minutes long. It's a very long DVD. But of course, it's just so all encompassing, and so we recommend it very strongly. Broad is the Way, a new DVD by Carol Matriciano, and of course, it has a number of our good close friends in it. Joanna Michelson is there. We actually have a DVD that Joanna Michelson put out, and we recommend that to you. It's Sydney. It goes into the background of her experience as a medium, and of course, the beautiful side of evil. She wrote that. We have a 4-tape set on the supernatural with 2 hours with Joanna, but the DVD really, I think, it gives you tremendous insight into what Christianity is all about and what this battle we're involved in today. So the beautiful side of evil, the DVD with Joanna Michelson, certainly Broad is the Way. There's a great new DVD by Carol Matriciana. And then, of course, we have the 4-tape set. The Supernatural has a couple of hours with Joanna Michelson, who was a medium, who actually witnessed hundreds of truly miraculous things, which she thought were of God, and they were truly supernatural. But, of course, it turned out, of course, that they were coming from the dark side. And, of course, it was until she actually went and visited Francis Schaeffer over in Switzerland and began to understand how that she, who had these supernatural powers, had to publicly renounce them, which she did. And now, of course, Joanna is a personal friend of both Barbara's and mine. So you'll want to get this information. Certainly, we have so much information out here that will help you understand this spiritual battle that's taking place. Please go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And remember, you can listen to our programs 24 hours a day there by telephone, by iPod, by MP3, archive programs. But your job is to get other people to listen, to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. The DVD, my wife has sent the message over, Wide is the Gate, not Broad is the Gate, but Wide is the Gate. And you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, we hope that you get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, our talks on the forbidden secret and the dark secret, and they are to counter what Oprah Winfrey and what the major television networks are doing, and the message, the false